Turn your Bibles to 1 Samuel, if you would, please, and chapter 15. And we're going to begin in verse 13 and read through verse 23. 1 Samuel 15. And if you'll stand out of love and respect for the Word of God, if you would, please, if you are physically able. 1 Samuel chapter 15 and beginning in verse 13. And we'll read responsively, and I'll read the odd verses and you can join me on the even verses. And you know exactly why that is the case. So we'll begin in verse 13. It says, "And Samuel came to Saul, and Saul said unto him, Blessed be thou of the Lord. I have performed the commandment of the Lord. And Samuel said, What meaneth then this bleating of the sheep in mine ears, and the lowing of the oxen which I hear? And Saul said, They have brought them from the Amalekites. For the people spared the best of the sheep and of the oxen to sacrifice unto the Lord thy God, and the rest we have utterly destroyed. Then Samuel said unto Saul, Stay, and I will tell thee what the Lord hath said to me this night. And he said unto him, Say on. And Samuel said, When thou wast little in thine own sight, wast thou not made the head of the tribes of Israel? And the Lord anointed thee king over Israel, and the Lord sent thee on a journey, and said, Go and utterly destroy the sinners, the Amalekites, and fight against them until they be consumed. Wherefore then didst thou not obey the voice of the Lord, but didst fly upon the spoil, and didst evil in the sight of the Lord? And Saul said unto Samuel, Yea, I have obeyed the voice of the Lord, and have gone the way which the Lord sent me, and have brought Agag, the king of Amalek, and have utterly destroyed the Amalekites. But the people took of the spoil, sheep and oxen, the chief of the things which should have been utterly destroyed, to sacrifice unto the Lord thy God in Gilgal. And Samuel said, Hath the Lord as great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as in obeying the voice of the Lord? Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to hearken than the fat of rams. For rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft, and stubbornness is as iniquity and idolatry. Because thou hast rejected the word of the Lord, he hath also rejected thee from being king." You know, in our story today, you may have recognized this. In verse 1, Samuel also said unto Saul, "The Lord sent me to anoint thee to be king over his people, over Israel. Now therefore, hearken thou unto the voice of the words of the Lord. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, I remember that which Amalek did to Israel, how he laid wait for him in the way when he came up from Egypt. Now go and smite Amalek and utterly destroy all that they have, and spare them not, but slay both man and woman, infant and suckling, ox and sheep, camel and ass." You understand, that's everything? Yeah, that's everything. And this word came from the Lord. Saul gathered the people and they came to the city and they went out. He did give a group of people, the Kenites, that had been kind to Israel, a chance to depart. And God didn't say to kill the Kenites. So he said take care of the Amalekites. So that wasn't a problem. And then he goes in verse 7. And he went to Havilah and all the way to Shur. And over against Egypt. And he smote the Amalekites. And on the outside, it looked like everything was going according to plan. Everything was fine. But then we have something here in verse 8. He says, and he took Agag, the king of the Amalekites, alive. Now, it says he. That's referring to Saul. All right? And back here it says in verse 3, "Now go and smite Amalek, and utterly destroy all that they have, and spare them not, but slay both man." I'm pretty sure that Agag the king was a man. Alright? I'm pretty sure about that. And I think that falls in that category that he should have perished where it was that they found him instead of taking him alive. It says, "And he utterly destroyed all the people with the edge of the sword." Alright, so we have this. Now look at verse 9. The record of the Bible says this: "But Saul and the people." Put the king first and the people. Who gathered together the people together? Saul. Who came to the city and laid wait in the valley? Saul. Who said to the Kenites to scatter before they were destroyed? Saul. Who smote the Amalekites in verse 7 from Havilah all the way to Shur? Saul. Who took Agag alive? Saul. Okay. Are you all getting this picture here? He's the king. He made the decisions. He led the people. Okay? This is very clear in Scripture. Is anybody confused about this record? Well, no, but Saul is. For some reason, Saul is confused about this record. Because as he speaks to Samuel, if you look at where we started in verse 13, he of course greets Samuel, and Saul in his cloak of righteousness, self-righteousness, says, "Oh, blessed thou of the Lord, welcome." You know, I have performed the commandment of the Lord. Yeah. No, sir, you did not. It's recorded in Scripture. You did not. He goes on, and of course, once he's called out on the carpet, if you will, as Samuel says, "Well, what meaneth then this bleating of the sheep in mine ears and the lowing of the oxen which I hear?" Let's see, sheep. Let me see here. Ox and sheep. Utterly destroy. Ox and sheep. I hear these creatures that were supposed to be utterly destroyed. The only sound they should be making right now is on a grill somewhere. It's the only sound they should be making. No, they're supposed to be dead. He says, what meaneth this in my ears? And Saul said, "They..." No, I performed the commandment of the Lord. They did not. Wait a minute. Who led these people? Who took them into battle? Who gave the directions? Yeah, you did, Saul. And guess what, Saul? You told them to take the sheep. And you told them to take the oxen. And you told them to take the king alive. Not them. Anyways, he goes on. "The people spared the best of the oxen to sacrifice to the Lord thy God. And the rest we have utterly destroyed." We did most of the work. So therefore we obeyed the commandment of the Lord. No. "Then Samuel said unto Saul, Stay, and I will tell thee what the Lord had said unto me this night. And he said unto him, Say on." You understand, folks, that the record is clear. God's commands are clear. Samuel knew what they were. He told them to Saul. Saul knew what they were. He told them to the people. But somewhere in there, something got lost. Something changed. And up until verse 24, I think Saul was trying to talk himself into the fact that he... Or to a fact, not really a fact, to a supposition that he had performed the commandment of the Lord. But he had not. He had not done what the Lord had asked him to do. He did not keep the Lord's commandments. And rather, if you will, he did not obey. He did not obey. You understand that, did he almost utterly destroy the Amalekites? Yeah. One being was left of the Amalekites. But can I say something? Let's say there were 20,000 Amalekites. Is making sure that 19,999 of them were destroyed, was that obeying God's command? No. They only saved a couple hundred sheep out of thousands of sheep. That's obeying, right? They saved a couple, a hundred oxen perhaps to sacrifice unto the Lord. They were the best. No, that wasn't, was it? And Samuel said in verse 22, and this is where we get our text from today. And Samuel said, hath the Lord as great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices. So think about that. Does God delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices? Oh, yes. Oh, yes, that's fine. But what does he say? He said, hath the Lord as great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as in obeying the voice of the Lord. Hey, God loves it when we get right with him. God loves it when we come to the altar and lay things down and get back into favor with God. God loves to see us do that. But he would rather see us obey in the first place. Not even having to come for forgiveness or for restoration. But rather to not be in that position in the first place. Did God set up Saul as king? Yes, he did. Okay, the people cried out for a king. He set him up as king, right? You understand that? God set him up. Did God give him the wherewithal to be a good king? Yes, he did. Did God give very specific commands? We read it in verses 1, 2, and 3 there. Yes. Did God want Saul to fall and fail? No. Did God want the kingdom to be rent away from Saul? No. No, He didn't want, Saul finally said, oh, I have sinned for I have transgressed the commandment of the Lord. Okay, too late. God doesn't want the sacrifice as much as he wants you to obey in the first place. That's why the sermon today is called Obedience is Better. Obedience is better. In verse 22, it says, behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to hearken than the fat of rams. Can I tell you something? Obedience is always better. It's always better. How many of you have ever been in a circumstance where you had a choice to either obey or not to obey? Okay? That is the question. And whether it's noble or not, I have no idea. Some of you got that. Okay, a little Shakespeare there. Okay, wonderful. But you understand that to obey is better. And you were at that crossroads, right? And you don't have to raise your hand. Just think about it in your mind. Can you think of a circumstance where you were presented with obedience or disobedience that you chose disobedience? Okay, now I said you don't have to raise your hand, okay? I'll raise my hand. Now, was that better than obeying? Did it work out better for you in the long run or immediately? I'm going to guess, or peradventure, that it did not. You know why? Because the Bible says obedience is better. Does anybody have any regrets about disobedience? I would assume so. Does anybody have any regrets about obeying? No? I don't think so. Right? You say, but I was put in a position where I did something wrong. I disobeyed. And then I had to either choose to fess up to it or tell a lie to cover it up. Ah. Well, telling a lie is what? Disobedience. Telling the truth is obedience. You know, okay, so let's go the way that we told the truth. And we answered for what we did. Did that hurt? Yes. But ultimately, was it the best? Yes. Yes. Hey, do you have something that you lied about? And maybe you got away with it. But did you? You want me to tell us? I'll tell a story on your preacher. English class. This is Hollingshead. I was a terrible English student. We were supposed to write a research paper on a job, a career, what we wanted to do with our life. I think it was 10th grade English. And I was a little bit lazy as a student. I was a little too smart for my own good. I was that kid that never did his homework and never took things home and still got an A or B on a test. It was to my detriment. I regret that. But can I tell you something? I was supposed to write this paper. And I did not write the paper. But my English teacher was out sick for about a week and a half. And the substitute teacher didn't know the difference between his head and a hole in the ground. Okay? Had no clue of what life was about or anything. Unfortunately, I decided to take that to my advantage. So when my teacher came back to class after about a week and a half, she came to me and said, Eric, I did not get your paper. I said, well, I turned it in to the substitute. And I did not turn it into the substitute. It was supposed to be a third of my grade. And she said, okay, I'll check with the substitute. Of course, the substitute didn't have any idea about it. And she came back to me and she said, all right, well, we can't find the paper. I'll give you a C. And I said, okay. I was not a very good student. Do you know what? I got away with it. But that haunts me to this day. It's not better. It's not good. It feels terrible. Years later, I actually wrote to that teacher and I told her what happened. And I felt horrible about that. You know, that stays with you, folks. Stays with you. You say, but yeah, but you passed the class. I know I did. But it doesn't matter. Because it was off. That haunted me as a Christian. Because I did wrong. And until I could get forgiveness for it, God forgives, of course, we understand that. But obedience is better, folks. It's better. We have to live with that. All along here, Saul is convinced that he obeyed the voice of God. It was the people. They did it. No, Saul, you did. I mean, he finally admitted it in verse 24, for I have transgressed the commandment of the Lord. And then, of course, he kind of admits to it because he says, well, I feared the people and obeyed their voice. Okay, well, now you're not really confessing here. You're kind of still playing the blame game. But obedience is better. Turn your Bibles to Romans chapter 6. And as you do, I'm going to read a verse out of John in chapter 3. Turn to Romans chapter 6. Obedience unto salvation. You know, there's only one way to heaven. John chapter 3 in verse 7, the Bible says this. Marvel not that I said unto thee, ye must be born again. You understand that there is only one way to heaven. Jesus said in John chapter 14, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Are you there in Romans chapter 6? Look what it says in verse 17. Romans 6 and verse 17. It says, but God be thanked that ye were the servants of sin, but ye have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered you. Being then made free from sin, ye became the servants of righteousness. Hey folks, salvation comes through obedience. Through obedience. We obey God's call to salvation through Jesus Christ. Hey, there's no other way to heaven. There's only one way. And we have to put aside all the other ways, all the other things, and put our faith in Christ, trust in Jesus Christ alone for salvation. In other words, we turn away from those things that are pulling at us, and we obey unto salvation. We obey. It's His way. It's His command. Jesus said, ye must be born again. You must be born again. He is the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Turn over there to Romans chapter 10. Just a few more pages. Romans chapter 10, beginning in verse 9. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart. Remember what he said back there in Romans 6? You've obeyed with your heart. Believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead. Thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness. And with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. For there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek. For the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. It's obedience to God unto salvation. We obey His plan. We follow His way, and that's how we receive salvation. Can I tell you that Saul thought he obeyed God? He had convinced himself that he obeyed God, but he did not obey God. Turn over to Matthew chapter 7. This is an interesting comment. Matthew chapter 7. Look at verse 21. I have obeyed the commandment of the Lord. Samuel, I did what God told me to do. Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father, which is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? And in thy name have cast out devils? And in thy name done many wonderful works? And then I will profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. Did Saul make a false profession of his obedience? Yeah, he did. Did he almost do everything God said? Yeah, almost. Hey, but no, almost only counts in horseshoes, hand grenades, and nuclear war. Got close. Not in salvation, folks. Oh, listen, there are some very religious people in this world today. And quote-unquote good people in this world today. Moral people, righteous people, just people, if you will. But they are sitting there and they have never obeyed Christ in the way of salvation. They've not been born again. They've not asked Jesus Christ to be their Savior. You understand that we've got to obey Him completely. Not just some, but completely. Completely. There are good people. I've talked to people out on the street that they believe in God, they believe in Jesus, they believe the Bible, they go to church, but they've never been born again. They're so close. Close doesn't count. It doesn't count. Saul had the kingdom rent away from him because of his disobedience. He said, well, he did most of it. He was mostly obedient. Yeah, but mostly obedient doesn't cut it. Mostly obedient is disobedient. It is. We've got to obey God's voice unto salvation. As you're turning to Joshua chapter 1, let me read for you again verse 17 of our text. Turn to Joshua chapter 1. And Samuel said, when thou wast little in thine own sight, wast thou not made the head of the tribe of Israel? And the Lord anointed thee king over Israel. Did God give Saul everything he needed to be successful? Yes. Was Saul successful? No. No, he wasn't. So, but he did accomplish some conquests and some things. Yes, but he wasn't successful. He wasn't. He had the kingdom rent away from him and from his family. And I want you to listen to what Samuel said about the replacement for Saul. He said, and Samuel said unto him, the Lord hath rent the kingdom of Israel from thee this day, and hath given it to a neighbor of thine that is better than thou. Ouch. Ouch. That hurts. Yes, he was better. You know, God wants us to be obedient unto success. Unto success. Obedient unto salvation, and then obedient unto success. Are you there in Joshua chapter 1, in verse 7? Look what the Bible says here about success and obedience. Joshua chapter 1 and verse 7. Only be thou strong and very courageous, that thou mayest, what is that word? Observe. Observe to do according to all the law. What is observing to do according to all the law? Obedience. That's obedience. Which Moses my servant commanded thee, turn not from it to the right hand or to the left, that thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest, there it is again, observe to do according to all that is written therein. If you obey God, if you do all that He says to do, for then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. Success. Hey, how many of you want to just go out and live life and be a dud for Jesus? No? No? I mean, how many of you, 4th of July is coming up. You like fireworks? Yeah, you go. Nobody likes a dud. No, I like milk duds, but not duds. No, you know, you want it to go. Yeah! That's what you want to do? Nobody likes to go. They want $20. No, you want it to blow up and to spread through the sky and ooh, ah, oh. I mean, that's what you expect out of it. Hey, God doesn't want to light your life and go. No, God wants to go ooh, ah, oh. I mean, huh? I mean, God set up Saul to be king. of His people. To do wonderful things, to be an example to the other nations. And he lit Saul's life and he went, and God's like, is that what you want? No. How do we not get that response from God? Obey. He says, if you obey, if you observe to do according to it, then you shall make your way prosperous and you shall have good success. Don't you want to be successful for the Lord? I want to be successful for the Lord. We need to be successful. Go to 1 Samuel chapter 12 and we see a little bit about Saul's life and what God expected. And guess what? Saul knew exactly what was going to happen. Make no mistake about it. He knew. And we'll see here that he did know. He was told beforehand. Look what it says here in chapter 12 in verses 13 through 15 in 1 Samuel. Now therefore, behold the king whom ye have chosen and whom ye have desired. And behold, the Lord hath set a king over you. Now listen to this. God sets him up for success. He says, you can be successful, even though you've asked for a king, and I want to be your king, but I've given you a king. If ye will fear the Lord and serve him and obey his voice and not rebel against the commandment of the Lord, then shall both ye and also the king that reigneth over you continue following the Lord your God. Deal? Yeah, deal. But if ye will not obey the voice of the Lord, but rebel against the commandment of the Lord, then shall the hand of the Lord be against you as it was against your father. They were told, folks. They were told. Saul was told. The people were told. And guess what happened? In chapter 15, the kingdom was rent away from him. For rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft, verse 23, and stubbornness is as iniquity and idolatry. Because thou hast rejected the word of the Lord, he hath also rejected thee from being king. And in verse 28, and Samuel said unto him, the Lord hath rent the kingdom of Israel from thee this day and hath given it to a neighbor of thine that is better than thou. No success. Why? Why no success? No obedience. See, but he obeyed most of it. Like I said, no success, no obedience. Success, obedience. You understand that in order to be successful in God's eyes, all we have to do is obey. Now, go to Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians chapter 6. While you're turning there, I can remind you of Psalm chapter 1. Blessed is the man that walketh not. Right? Yeah. In the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. Yeah, he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. What is prospering and success come from? Obedience. Hey, you want to live long on the earth? Everybody knows Ephesians 6:1, right? Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise. Why? That it may be well with thee, and that thou mayest live long on the earth. Hey, if something's well with you, and you have a long life, how many of you would determine that as success? And what is that hinged on? Obedience. Obedience. Hey, Paul said he fought a good fight. He kept the faith. He finished his course. Henceforth there's laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at his appearing. Right? Hey, and who else? And unto all them that also love his appearing. Right? Hey, is that success? Yes! Hey, when our works are tried before Christ up in heaven, and the wood, the hay, and the stubble that's burnt up is counted for a loss. But the gold, the silver, the precious stones, that's what's valuable. That's what's valuable. How do we obtain those things? Obey. Obey. You know what laying up treasure in heaven is? Obedience. Hey, does God want you to be a witness? And if you're a witness, what are you going to do? Lay up treasure in heaven. Does God want you to have integrity and live a holy, pure, and righteous life? Yes. And if you do, what's it going to do? Lay up treasure in heaven. And if you don't, what's it going to do? It's going to burn up. You're going to fizzle out. You're going to be a dud. A dud. God doesn't like duds. He wants you to burst out into, that's what he wants to do. That's what he wants to see. Over in James 1:25, you know what the Bible says about being a hearer and a doer of the work. But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed. Not the dud, not the one that's not a success, not the one that does not obey, but rather the one that obeys, that hears and does what God says. We need to learn to obey. Did Saul obey God? No. God said, utterly destroy. Listen, you say, Brother Combs, that was a tough thing. How can you go and kill a little baby like that? Because God said to. Okay, I don't have to understand it. This is what God said. And they were to do it. And guess what? For some reason, Saul didn't have a problem with that, but he saved the king. You know what Samuel's response to that was? Then Samuel said, bring ye hither to me Agag, the king of the Amalekites. And Agag came unto him delicately. No, duh. And Agag said, surely the bitterness of death is past. No, it's not. And Samuel said, as thy sword hath made women childless, so shall thy mother be childless among women. And Samuel quietly put him aside. Oh, no. He hewed Agag in pieces. You say, Brother Combs, that's grotesque. I understand. But it's the word of the Lord. Before the Lord in Gilgal. Did Samuel finish what Saul should have done? Yeah. He did. Because the word of the Lord needed to be obeyed, folks. And it was obeyed. You understand that we've got to learn to obey, and then we shall have good success. Once again, look at 1 Samuel 15 and verse 9. And if you're not there quickly, I'll just read it to you. It says, but Saul and the people spared Agag, and the best of the sheep, and of the oxen, and of the fatlings, and of the lambs, and all that was good, and would not utterly destroy them. But everything that was vile and refuse, that they destroyed utterly. Saul's choice not to obey the Lord was a display to the children of Israel not to obey the Lord. Who was the example? Who was head and shoulders above all the people of Israel? Who was the one that God put as king over them to follow? Saul. And who did the people follow? Saul. Who do you suppose told them to save Agag alive? Saul. Who do you suppose told them to save the best sheep and the best oxen? Saul. I have no doubt of that in my mind. If you read the account, there is no doubt that he was the leader, they were the followers, and his example rubbed off on them. So what possibly could point number three for the message today be? Not only, number one, obedience unto salvation. And number two, obedience unto success. How about number three, obedience unto sharing an example with others. Some of you are the only Christian somebody else knows. And your example of Christ is what they see. And is what they know of Christ and Christianity. And is what they view Christianity to be. And perhaps it's what they will be as a Christian as well. Isn't it? Hey, listen. I'm just telling you. Saul influenced the people to disobey God. I hope you're not influencing somebody to disobey God. I hope your disobedience isn't being spread to others. But rather, I hope that your obedience is being shared with others so that they follow God and do His commands. Over in Judges chapter 2, we see a very sad truth of the children of Israel. And in Judges chapter 2, in verse 7, the Bible gives an account of Joshua's life that it was a good leadership for God's people. And the people served the Lord all the days of Joshua. Why? Because Joshua obeyed God. And it says, and all the days of the elders that outlived Joshua, they followed God. And the people served the Lord all the days of Joshua and all the days of the elders that outlived Joshua, who had seen the great works of the Lord that he did for Israel. But after that, there's a generation gathered up in verse 10. And also all that generation were gathered unto their fathers, and there arose another generation after them, which knew not the Lord, nor yet the works which he had done for Israel. Somewhere there they lost that obedience. They lost the remembrance of it. And listen, that was to their detriment, because the children did evil in the sight of the Lord and served Balaam. They forsook the Lord their God and followed him not. What a shame. What a shame. Is your life of obedience rubbing off on somebody else? Or is rather your life of disobedience rubbing off on someone else? What is it you're sharing with others? You know Matthew chapter 5 and verse 16, that we are supposed to let our light so shine before men that they may see your good works. Why? So they can say, yes, he is a Christian preacher. He is a godly man. Why should they see my good works? Why should they see my light shining for God? So that they can glorify your Father which is in heaven. That's why. Folks, it's not for me. We don't obey and live right and do right and follow God for our own benefit, even though that does benefit us. But we do it so that others can see and others can do. Our obedience needs to rub off on somebody else. Over in James chapter 2, the Bible tells us about our life of obedience rubbing off on others. James chapter 2 and verse 17, the Bible says, even so faith, if it hath not works, is dead, being alone. Yea, a man say, thou hast faith, and I have works. Show me thy faith without thy works, and I will show thee my faith by my works. Oh. Why? Why would we want to do that? So that others will believe. So that others will believe. So our light can be a testimony unto them that God is good. That God does change a life. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. It's to God's benefit that we obey unto sharing an example and being an example of the believers. In Titus chapter 2, you know that the Christians there were exhorted to live the right kind of life. It talks about the aged men and the aged women likewise, that they may teach these things and all this stuff. Why should that be? That it says in verse 7, in all things, showing thyself a pattern of good works, in doctrine, showing uncorruptness, gravity, sincerity, sound speech that cannot be condemned, that he that is of the contrary part may be ashamed. That means you obey so that people that don't obey are ashamed of what they're doing. Holding that standard high because it's the standard of the Lord. And having no evil thing to say of you. It's hard to say against that, isn't it? Yeah. Well, would you think God would have rent the kingdom from Saul if he would have obeyed? No, I don't. There wouldn't be any reason to do such. But because he didn't obey, that did happen to him. And just in closing, think about these words in 1 Thessalonians chapter 1. Obedience is better. Oh yes, sinner, get right with God. If you're lost today, come to Calvary and come to Jesus and he'll save you. Obedience is better than sacrifice. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 1 and verses 5 through 7, the Bible says, for our gospel came not unto you in word only, but also in power and in the Holy Ghost and in much assurance, as ye know what manner of men we were among you for your sake. And ye became followers of us and of the Lord, having received the word in much affliction with joy of the Holy Ghost, so that ye were in samples to all that believe in Macedonia and Achaia. Hey, obedience is catchy, folks. It's catchy. But so is disobedience. We need to understand that obedience is better. It is better to obey than sacrifice. Oh yes, if you do wrong, God wants you to get right. And he will rejoice in that, but he would rejoice even more if you didn't do it in the first place. Yeah. Because you know what? Those regrets are always there. Why would you want to live with that? Oh, there's forgiveness and you ought to take it and run with it and do right for God, but obedience is better. You say, well, I'm kind of stuck in a pattern of disobedience. Come get right. God still rejoices in sacrifice. God still rejoices in repentance. And then from this point forward, obey. Because obedience is better.